hope you enjoy this message from South City C3, a location of C3 Church, Christchurch.
Well, good evening, church. Welcome to our 6 p.m. service here tonight. It is a real pleasure to be with you, even in this very different format, different way of doing church. We welcome you along, and we hope that you will come and join us tonight on a little bit of a journey. We're going to read some scripture together. We're going to spend some time in prayer. We're even going to spend some time thinking about and discussing some things together. I want to encourage you during this time that this is a moment, an opportunity where we can do our church even slightly differently, but still with the same heart and flavor that we normally do it. Now, one thing, we're not going to be doing any worship tonight. We want to encourage you to use some YouTube clips and to be able to sing along to some of those songs together. But you don't want me to be doing the singing with you. And because of the isolation, at least this week, we're not going to be doing any singing together. So we're going to get straight into it, and we're going to talk about the Bible. As we do this, I want to encourage you that this is not some Netflix show, it's not some TV show that you can just sit and watch. We want to encourage you to be engaged and to be involved with this, as you normally would. Read the Bible along with us as we read. Make notes if you're into making notes. Discuss some of these things with the people around you. Spend some time reflecting and praying and journaling together. And then when this is done, we're going to be joining each other on Zoom. Zoom is a platform that allows us to have up to 100 people using their webcams or devices to chat together. We'll use this time to catch up, to encourage each other, and to pray together. If you need details, then please send me a message or email me, jonty@c3chch.org. I'll give you the code, and it's 7 p.m. On tonight. It's a Sunday night when we're putting this out. We will meet together, and we'd love to do that throughout the duration of the time when we're going to be doing church in this way. Right, tonight we're continuing our series called Navigating Life. In this series, we're using the metaphor of sailing. We know that life can be a little bit like going on a boat journey. That's what we've said all along. It has a starting point, it has a destination, and there can be some things that we face along the way. In this series, we've been exploring the ways in which we can be blown off course and how we can get ourselves back on course again. We started in week one with John sharing with us about the destination and the master of our boat and how we need to make Jesus that master. And then in the second week, we looked at the area of comparisons and how we need to have a North Star, a guiding light. We need to know the direction that we're going, and that is by seeing Jesus and not comparing ourselves to other people. Last week, Sarah took us through what it looks like to make course decision changes. And those big decisions of life, how can we be part of that? Now, this week, we had planned this for a long time. Joshua Taylor was the one who set this series out for us, and he said, look, on week four, on March the 29th, here's what I want you to talk about. I want you to talk about the storms of life, and gave the passage which we're going to go through tonight. And I think that this passage and this discussion is so important for the time that we're going through right now. We're going through a difficulty that for some of us will be a little bit bumpy, and for others it will be like a full-blown squall. It is massive for us. We need to get our head around the severity of this virus and the threat to our health and the health of the people that we love. For others of us, we need to figure out how to live in this world and work in close confinement with others in a way that we're not used to. We need to learn to live without some of the shops and the services that we're used to. For some, we may have even lost a degree or fully our employment. And we're coming to terms with, what does it mean now for us to be in this place where we don't have that security or that financial difficulty is so difficult for us right now? For some, this will trigger all kinds of mental health issues. There'll be anxiety, there'll be depression, there'll be a sense of being overwhelmed by all that is going on. This is a storm of life, and we need to know how to navigate it. Now, I've never been in a storm in the open seas, but I've had to swim for it a couple of times. I remember one time I was with some friends, and we decided to take an inflatable raft, and we took this inflatable raft fishing. And if you've got any knowledge of fishing and inflatable raft, one thing you should know is that hooks and inflatable rafts do not match. So we're out there on the water, and then suddenly we hear the noise no one in an inflatable raft wants to hear. It goes something like this. Psst. And what had happened was the boat had sprung a leak, and it was slowly deflating. Quickly, the guys grabbed their paddles and they started going for the shore. And we started going as hard as we could, but that boat couldn't last long enough. Fortunately, we had life jackets. We were close enough to the shore, but we had to swim for it. Another time, I was in the same bay, and we decided to go fishing without the inflatable raft this time. Instead, we went over some hills, and we came down through some pretty treacherous rocks to try and get down to a good spot to do some fishing. Quickly, we realized that these rocks were so hard, we wouldn't be able to get back up them again. So, what would we do? Well, we decided to do some coast steering. We went around the coast trying to figure out if we could get back through across some of these rocks. And then we got to a point where in front of us there was a sheer rock. We couldn't rock climb it. There was only one thing to do. So, a couple of my friends stripped right off, went into the water, middle of winter, it was freezing, and they swam around to the other side. And from the other side of the rock, it was a little bit easier. They could climb up, use the fishing line, and they attached a plastic bag to it. We put all of our clothes in there, and that's how we kept our clothes warm so we didn't get hypothermia. And we had to swim around. All of these fishing trips, one thing was consistent, we never caught fish. We only ever caught colds. Those were some of the trips that I went on where we had to bail out and we had to swim for it. We're going to read a story today from the Gospel of Matthew where the weather wasn't so calm, where the weather wasn't so nice. And in fact, it was a massive storm. So, if you've got a Bible or a smartphone, turn with me into Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we're going to read verses 23 to 27. It says that Jesus got into the boat and started across the lake with his disciples. Suddenly, a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown!" Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was great calm. The disciples were amazed. "Who is this man?" they asked. "Even the wind and waves obey him." And this is a story about the time when Jesus was sleeping while the disciples were freaking. They were in that boat, and at that time, no life jackets, and things were really hard. And we're going to learn some things from this story. And the first one is this. In verse 24, it says, "Suddenly a fierce storm struck the lake with waves breaking into the boat." It was a big storm, a massive storm. The Greek word, I'm told, is the word seismos. It was like an earthquake of a storm. It's like ranking it on the Richter scale. And I wonder right now, if you consider what's going on in your life, where would this rank on the Richter scale of your life? Is this like a massive, is this a 9.0? Or is this just a little 4.1? What does this storm actually look like for you? Is this as big as it gets, or has there been bigger things in your life? I'm wondering tonight if you can spend some time journaling and some time thinking about that question. Chat with the people around you maybe, and consider this for a couple of minutes. How does the current situation rank in comparison to other storms in your life? Why does it rank this way? Think about that for a couple of minutes, and then we'll come back and look at more of this story. So, the storm was big, as it may be for you right now. And the disciples, they were terrified, but not Jesus. We read in verse 24, "But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him up, shouting, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.'" This passage, it tells us two things. That tells us, first of all, something about Jesus, and then something about what it means to follow Jesus. The first is that Jesus got tired. He was human. He worked hard, but he had enough peace inside himself that even in this situation, with the storm raging against him, he could sleep. He could lie down, and even though this was going on inside himself, he knew he was going to be okay. Now, some people look at this situation and they say, is God asleep at the moment? Is God inactive in the world? The answer is no, of course he's not. God is moving and he is active. And he is able to come into even the most difficult situation and to make something good out of it. There's a great story in the Gospel of John about a time when Jesus' friend Lazarus was sick. And Jesus decides to wait and wait and wait to come to him. And eventually when he does, he comes to Lazarus. And Lazarus has died. And Jesus knows that he's going to do something amazing. He knows that he is going to make a big statement in this moment. But as he is led out to Lazarus's tomb, we read these amazing words in John chapter 11, verse 35. Shortest verse in the Bible, one of the most profound. We hear that Jesus wept. He wept. And then he goes to the tomb and he raises Lazarus from the dead. He is active and he's doing something. But we know that he also cares for the suffering that goes on in the meantime. And for some of us right now, we are in a place of suffering. And we need to know that Jesus is right alongside us. He is weeping with us. But he is not asleep. He's active and he's speaking resurrection life over all of us. That's the first thing we need to know. Jesus was asleep in this moment, but that was about peace, not about inactivity. The second is that if you follow Jesus, you still go through storms in your life. We all are in our bubble at the moment, and the best thing we can do is stay there. You would think people in Jesus' bubble would be the happiest and most trouble-free. I don't know how your bubble's going, but you'd think they would be the happy ones. However, they clearly were not. They worried, they fought, they had tough circumstances. They lived through storms. Here's the interesting thing about the story. Many of Jesus' followers were fishermen, yet they could not see a way out. They were so terrified. And the reason for that is that the sea for Jewish people was big and it was scary. It was a place of power and of evil. It was wild and untamed. It was a presence to be afraid of. Think about the number of times water is used negatively in the Old Testament. We read in the very beginning that God creates a void. He creates in this void that is known as the waters. It's almost as though he opposes it to make something good. In the story of the flood, the waters are a vehicle of death. In the Exodus, God has to split the Red Sea to bring the people through. And then 40 years later, he dries up the Jordan River. When the psalmists want to praise God, they bring this up directly. They say in Psalm 89, verse 9, "You rule the oceans. You subdue the storm-tossed waves." And then there's the story of Jonah. Jonah is told to prophesy against a great nation, and he runs away. He doesn't do what God wants, and so he finds himself in a boat, and he faces a great storm. He calms the water, but the only way for him to do that was by having himself thrown in. Here we see Jesus, who is in the middle of exactly the same situation. But the difference is that Jesus is doing what his Father wants. He knows he's not in trouble, but he knows this is a moment to declare his own power. And what happens is Jesus speaks, and the seas seem to remember his voice. They listen when God split the sea for Moses, and they listen when he stopped the Jordan River for Israel. So when Jesus speaks, the waters know their master. They obey. Jesus had inner peace, and he brings that inner peace to the storm. Verse 26, Jesus responded, "Why are you afraid? You have so little faith." Then he got up and rebuked the wind and waves, and suddenly there was a great calm. Here's the point. We are going to go through storms. But when Jesus is in our boat, our response should move from fear to faith. That's what happened for the disciples. Faith, a simple trust that Jesus is the King of the universe, who has the authority over the elements. As we walk into this storm, we can come to him. He will accept our panic and respond. But what he wants is he wants a calm assurance in him that whatever happens, he will make good out of it. See, Jesus is greater than any storms we face, greater than anything we might go through. He is bigger than the lot of it. And Jesus used the situation to teach his disciples about him. But he also used it as a moment to teach them. "Why are you so afraid?" he says to them. And they might say, "Jesus, don't you see the storm? Don't you feel the waves crashing against the boat? This is so big, it's overwhelming. We've worked, and it is overcoming us." But instead, Jesus says to them, "Do not be afraid, instead have faith." And it's because the one who is with you is greater than the storm that you are going through. Wherever you are right now, may you know the presence of God. One day, it was my friend's 10-year-old birthday, turning 10 years old, and we went to his place. It was a kiwi fruit orchard, and we went at night, and we went right out into the midst of the orchard. And while we were there, one of the people at the party decided to tell us a scary story. And they told us the story about an escaped convict and the way the escaped convict had got out of prison and had run away. And then he said, "That convict was in a prison just down the road from here." And we were all like, "Oh yeah, whatever. I know I'm 10, but I wasn't born yesterday." And so we all were thinking this was quite funny and walking back towards his house. And as we walked back towards his house, our friend who told the story had the torch. And he would shine the torch to a tree and say, "That's him there!" And we would all go, "Oh, no, there's no one there. No, I'm honest, I'm not scared at all." And they did this about 3 times and we all began to go, "Okay, there's nobody there." And then he did it a 4th time. And as he did it a 4th time, this massive hulk of a man came up from behind one of the trees. And we all, also the person shining the torch, screamed as loud as we could. Because we thought, "Oh no, this is actually a true story. We are about to die or run away." But what we discovered after a moment was a huge hulking laughter. It wasn't the escaped convict. Instead, it was my friend's older brother, who was working in the packing house, heard us down in the kiwi fruit orchard and decided to come and give us a giant scare. He succeeded. I can tell you, we were so scared in that moment. But I can also tell you this. As he walked back with us towards the lights of the house, we began to be less afraid. Because we knew the one who was with us was greater than anybody else that we could find out there. He was on our side, and so we knew we were going to be okay. As we go into this moment, in this season, what we need to know is that the one who is with us is greater and bigger and stronger than the ones who are against us, and even the storm of this moment. So we're going to take another moment for you to consider and to have a think again, either reflecting yourself or talking in a group. Here's the question we have for you. If Jesus is the one that you need, what can you do this week to to focus more on Jesus than the storms around you? What can you do this week to focus on Jesus rather than the storms around you? Why don't you take a couple of minutes to talk about, to think about, and to reflect on that? There is a psalm that usually goes along with candles and peaceful harp music. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." I think that's a fair translation of the verses. However, I was reading in a different translation recently and it had a very different way of translating it. It said that the word "be still" can be translated another way. It says it this way in the New American Standard Bible. "Cease striving and know that I am God." Cease striving. In other words, you need to know that your power is not enough to overcome the crisis that's in front of you or the storms that you face. Stop trying. You can't do it anyway. Instead, trust in God. There are some great things that we can do that can help us with the storms we face. I was watching an amazing video by Richard Black the other day. He heads an organization called Strength to Strength, and you can watch that video on their Facebook page. He was talking about the current crisis and the things we can do within it to make sure we are okay. It's worth watching, it's very helpful. He talks about the danger of the what if. It's the way we can get stuck in a rabbit hole of possibilities, none of which are ever good. And that always leads us to the worst case scenario, the worst possible thing that could happen. It's catastrophizing. It's making something much worse. And the problem with that way of doing things is that in our minds, it actually happens. We traumatize ourselves. Instead, he encouraged us to be gentle and strong with our minds. We need to tell ourselves the truth and bring calm to our own minds. We need to say, "Peace, mind, be still." We need to focus on what is. Not what if, what is. The things that are actually going on right now, and work on the things that are right in front of us. But once we've done all of that, we need to come to a place of surrender in God. We may not be able to calm the storms out there, but we can calm the storm in our own hearts. You need to speak to the storm inside of you and stop striving. I am okay. Jesus is in my boat. God has this world and he will never, never let it go. He wants to bring peace to your heart today, right where you are, even in this moment. And what you'll find is that God will then use this situation to do something inside of you. This experience is actually an opportunity for growth. We call ourselves a community of disciples reaching the world, that we would be people who are joined together, and that we would be those who follow after Jesus and have an impact on the world. And we know that God uses every situation to empower us to do that. This is no different. You might live by yourself, and I know loneliness is tough. Can I encourage you during this time to watch your habits? Create a structure around your day, where you work or study, where you exercise, where you eat, where you play, where you sleep. When one of those gets out of balance, you will struggle with your mental health. Make sure always that you pray and read the Bible. This is a great opportunity to see Jesus in a new way, to seek him like you've never done before. Come to him, not terrified, but expectant. Tap him on the shoulder and say, "Hey Jesus, I know you're sleeping. I know everything's going to be okay, but could you please help me? I need your perspective on this situation." Maybe you live with others, and this can be equally as trying, can't it, as being alone. you're stuck around your flatmates or your families and all of their bad habits and ways of doing things, let alone yours. And what an amazing opportunity to grow closer in relationship with them, to bring the love and the life of God to them, to bring heaven's life to the world around you. Here's the thing. We need to go through the winds to be ready for the gales. We need to go through the mild storms to be ready for the giant squalls. We need to go through the minor skirmishes to prepare ourselves for the warfare on the open sea. And this is what we see through this passage. There is another story 6 chapters later in Matthew chapter 14 of the disciples stuck in a storm. Something different happens in that situation. Instead of Jesus being on the boat with them, Jesus walks on the water towards them, and they say, "Oh no, we think this is a ghost." But actually, when he identifies himself, they don't say, "Jesus, save us, we're going to drown, we're terrified." Instead, they see an opportunity. And Peter says, "I want my faith to be like yours, Jesus. So if you can walk on the water, I want to walk on it too. Make me more like you." What a great perspective. I heard of someone the other day who was talking about COVID-19, and they were saying they're excited because they can see how God can even use this horrible situation to make a positive impact on our life and on our world. And I know that for the disciples, they didn't look around the boat that day with the storm raging and go, "Wow, this is going to be an amazing opportunity for us to see God come through." But I pray for each of us in each of our own way that we would have that kind of a perspective, expectant to see what God is going to do in us and through us, in our lives and in our world during this time. Maybe it is to bring love to the sick and the suffering. Maybe it is to bring calmness and hope to those who are struggling with anxiety. Maybe it's to connect more in a time when people can't connect physically, but to connect socially through what we do on social media and by using our phones. God wants to do something during this time. Max Lucado writes a fantastic book, and in it he has this quote. He says, "Life turns every person upside down. No one escapes unscathed. Not the woman who discovers her husband is having an affair. Not the teenager who discovers that a night of romance has resulted in a surprise pregnancy. Not the pastor who feels his faith shaken by questions of suffering and fear. We'd be foolish to think we're invulnerable, but we'd be just as foolish to think that evil wins the day. The Bible vibrates with the steady drumbeat of faith. God recycles evil into righteousness." And Mercado finishes it this way: "When God gets in the middle of life, evil becomes good. Evil becomes good." And so, as you go through the storms of the next few weeks, it's our prayer and our hope that you would see evil become good in your life and in your world. May you today know that Jesus is in the boat with you, or may you see him walking through the storm towards you. Will you stop striving and in that simple place, that restful place, know that he is God? Let's pray. And why don't you, where you are, just take a moment, bow your head, close your eyes, and just give this moment to God. Give this situation to God and allow him to come and meet you where you are. Lord God, we thank you today that you are with us. Thank you for your word, Psalm 91, which says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." And so today, God, for each of us where we are, may we find our refuge, may we find our shelter in you. And I pray, God, that we would know that you are Lord, and in knowing you are Lord, that we would have faith to face tomorrow, faith to go through this journey, faith to stay in our homes when we need to stay in our homes, and faith to see what you are doing through this moment. Lord, may you lead us and may you guide us. In your powerful name, Jesus. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's message. To learn more about our church, visit c3chch.org.